It is Monday, and it is 7:30. It is time to hear live on the telephone from R.W. Estella. Good morning, R.W.
Hey, good morning, Allison. In the process 2 days ago of celebrating one of my favorite annual events, I was also celebrating in advance one of my favorite annual observances coming up 2 days from now. The event was the 43rd Kanduskeag Extreme Canoe Race, and the observance is, of course, the 40th Earth Day. Appearing in such close proximity to one another in April, they together considerably lift my sense of spring spirit, reminding me how our planet in its essentials always has more to tell us. Although April sunshine and breezes haven't yet made my garden plot entirely shovel-ready, the past couple of weeks' warmth and wind made for borderline bony conditions for watercraft on the stream Saturday. Since my first Kanduskeag in 1994, I'd known only 2 years that had had shallower water. This made a difference from the beginning. Just before the start in the village of Kanduskeag, my paddling partner Heather and I felt a subdued current this year, in contrast to last year's high, swift water that had almost sent us under the bridge before our boat's number had been called. But even though the low water meant slow water, it did have some advantages. Moving along at a slower clip, at least 1 knot an hour slower, a significant speed reduction in the canoe, we were afforded additional moments to appreciate the environment as we passed through it. Within the first mile along the course, Heather spotted what she thought was a small chunk of wood to steer clear of, and then saw that it was a beaver who had been crossing the stream during a calm interlude between flotillas of canoes and kayaks. We were at the head of another bunch of boats, and he reared his hind quarters, smacked the surface of the water with his tail, and dove out of sight. Miles later, in some other flat water, we were on our own for a few minutes, except for a pair of mallard ducks, who stayed abeam of us a while before they noticed an inlet to explore. Attempting to trump all other nature on this day, however, is the human animal, such as he or she might be. From the start of the race and for the next 16 and a half miles, human nature, as it has been for millennia and as it probably will be for millennia to come, is in every available place and in every conceivable fashion demonstrated. The elegant, the clumsy, the lucky, the hapless, the polite, the rude, the relaxed, the pushy, the ones who endure, and the ones who don't pace themselves. These and more were in evidence throughout. Within a couple of hundred feet after the starting line, the keel of a canoe with three people in it had already fetched up on the rocky stream bed. Then, because the rules of the race give right-of-way to an overtaking canoe, some paddlers chugging along faster than others would literally ram their way through any other boats in their way. Fortunately, unpleasant racers such as these were the exception and not the norm. And often, these surge-ahead types, if they didn't run out of steam, would frequently spill in the whitewater sections, only to end up having themselves passed by all the folks they had earlier discourteously barged their way past. The Kanduskeag Canoe Race is also a great opportunity to practice revising a plan in situ, as they say. The day before, Heather and I went to look at Six Mile Falls in an effort to strategize how we would run it during the race the next day. But when we were actually on the water during our approach to the falls on Saturday, we made some impromptu modifications, coming in from the right side toward the center instead of from the left. This made all the difference and kept us from getting hung up in the lower water like most who had taken the route to the left. Like the previous year's running, our aim was not to win the race, but to have a good time, which included staying dry. That meant we had to stay focused, which included looking out for Heather's friends who lived streamside and had made us some sandwiches. But I'm beginning to worry now. This was my 14th Kanduskeag since my first in 1994, so I'm getting pretty comfortable with there becoming a major spring rite in my life. What'll happen when I can't do a Kanduskeag? Well, that's a pointless question, really, because every year I add yet one more epic panorama of a marvelous day on a mainstream to my memory banks, which pay out great returns that are amply fulfilling in themselves. For more on Omaine, have a great Earth Day.